Hello, I'm Andrew Richardson, and in this short audio, I will be revealing how you can understand yourself in a way that you will never have done before. And what I'm talking about is practical, down-to-earth psychology, and it could blow your mind. And the really fantastic thing will be, I hope, that you can use this new understanding to lead a better, more balanced and resilient life. So this way of seeing how human beings operate, which includes you of course, is not about deep personal analysis, which delves deep into your past to find that deep reason and all that kind of stuff. No, it's about you being able to sort things out when things go wrong. And these understandings are based on the human givens ideas. You'll have seen the words human givens peppered about on my website. Now, you may or may not have heard of human givens. That doesn't matter, because by the end of this talk, you will have an idea of just how exciting and useful these ideas are. Okay, let's begin. To a new way to understand what makes human beings tick, how it can go wrong, and what to do about it if and when that happens. To begin, I want to put a proposition to you that you could not possibly disagree with. It is that human beings are living creatures, not pieces of stone or pieces of cut grass or glass or anything like that. And this means simply that we need regular sustenance or nutrition in order to survive. And it's not just food and water that we need. We also need, and not want, sustenance and nutrition for our emotional health. In other words, we have essential emotional needs that are just as important for our long-term health as physical needs. Things like satisfying and stretching work, human relationships and closeness and connection, being safe and secure, a sense that we have a certain degree of control in our lives, things like that. How much sense is that making for you? A lot, I expect, as most people find all of this pretty obvious when they think about it. My point, though, is this. If this is making sense to you, and if, as you think about it, it becomes more and more significant and important, then something else also follows. And it is that if you are living a life where your emotional needs are not being well met, then you will suffer significant emotional distress. Further, this distress can manifest in all kinds of ways, as anxieties or depressions or obsessive behaviors or addictions and so on. In other words, what people routinely call mental illnesses. So maybe they're not mental illnesses at all. Instead, maybe they are the understandable responses to a life that isn't working because essential emotional needs are not being well met. Indeed, you could say that these mental and emotional problems are your guidance system telling you that something has to change. Okay? Well, here is a second proposition that I hope will be equally obvious to you as you think about it. And it's this, that human beings also have resources, capacities, gifts, call it what you will, that we were born with and which we have developed throughout our lifetime in order that we can live a life where we are getting our emotional needs met. Now, we can debate about whether these resources actually are, such as our thinking brain, our capacity to dream, our capacity to feel, to remember, to recall, to plan, to imagine, to empathize, to stand back and see ourselves, and so on and so forth. But the key point is this, surely, that what we human beings do every minute of the day, every day of the year, is to use our resources as best we can in order to live a life where we are getting our emotional needs met as well as they possibly can be. And if we are using our resources properly, and these resources are in good shape, and our circumstances are such that our needs are being well met, then that person will be emotionally secure, emotionally stable and resilient and doing okay. But if that person's resources are not working well and or life circumstances are really hard, say around health, finance, security, which means that that person cannot be living a life where that essential emotional needs are being well met, then that person will be suffering and struggling emotionally and mentally. Who can argue with that? So think about your life now. Think about your relationships, both close and intimate, and also broader than that, in the society in which you live. Think about the work you do, whether paid or unpaid, and how satisfying and stretching it is. And think about how safe and secure you feel right now, and whether you feel you have some degree of control or volition over the life you lead. And think about periods in your past when either your life situation was better than it is now or worse than it is now. How well were you coping compared to now? Better or worse? And if your situation was more stretching and testing than it is now, how exactly was it worse? Were you worrying a lot and losing control of your mind? And was this tiring you out and exhausting you? Or perhaps you found yourself chronically anxious, feeling your head was filling up with what-if scenarios or avoiding situations, panicking, stressing. Or were you finding certain ways to deal with what was happening to you? Were you self-medicating? In other words, drinking a lot, smoking a lot, taking things, and so on. But does it help to think you were ill or going mad? Of course not. Depressions, anxieties, addictions, obsessions are not illnesses. No, it is much better to see them as the natural response to a life that wasn't working and to resources and capacities that were not quite up to the job. I do hope this is making sense to you. What I have summarized for you is the organizing idea of the human givens and the basis for all my work, both one-on-one and in the audio programs that I have created. I think you will agree with me that to think of your problems in this way is quite liberating and quite empowering. It is because it takes you out of yourself, no more introspecting and worrying and ruminating, and instead asking yourself much more meaningful questions, such as, have my circumstances changed so that life is more difficult for me? In what way is my life not working well? Around the work I do, the relationships I have, how safe and secure and in control I feel? And how are my resources being stretched and not working very well? Now, I agree this last question might be a bit tricky, and of course I hope that's where I can come in and help you. But even here, a lot can be said, or more accurately, there's a lot that I can say, having worked for so many years now and help so many people, and it's this. For most people, most of the time, who are finding life is difficult and that they are drifting down into depressions and anxieties and addictions and obsessive behaviors that they don't like, it is their emotional resources that need some repair and healing. Because the bottom line is this. We human beings are first and foremost emotional creatures, and it is through our emotions that we make sense of the world and then how we respond to the world and what we have to deal with day to day, minute by minute. Yes, our thoughts are important, whether we are having good ones or bad ones or intrusive ones or interesting thoughts or obsessive ones for much of the time. But it is our emotions that come first. And so if we are feeling good, then we will have good thoughts. And if we are in control, we'll have thoughts that respect and reflect that. And if we are scared and worried, that the thoughts we will have will be reflecting that. And it means that for most of the time, if there is work to be done to strengthen our resources, it is our emotional responses that are the most important thing. So why is it that you get a slightly fearful, concerning feeling when you go to work? Why is it that you have that sense that this job, the situation, is going to be too difficult for you? What is it that generates the thoughts that I'm too stupid, I'm too ugly, and too bad, and too guilty? What and why is that emotional response all about, even if it is locked deep, deep, deep inside you and is creating the thoughts that is leading to the action that is becoming a destructive, self-fulfilling prophecy? And how do you clear it up and restore your emotional responses such that you are better able to get your needs met? And although the answer is not a one-liner, I'm afraid, neither is it nearly as difficult and intractable as you might think. And I will be covering all of that in my next talk.